First reading is taken from Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26. You'll see this in page 31 of the New Testament of the Church Bible. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 16, reading from verse 21.
Glory to you, O Lord.
From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Lord, thank you that you are interested in every detail of our lives, that you know where we are at the moment. I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, you may touch us today in what we hear, in what we see, in what we do. Amen. Now, you need to think back a bit. Do you remember, or have you seen, that black and white film, Brief Encounter? which took place in a station tea room and on a steam-filled platform. It was an encounter between a man and a woman, both of whom were happily married, if slightly bored with their partners, which led to an unsettling love affair, but with the status quo eventually being maintained. The brief encounter of which I speak today concerns two people, two men. Philip, a Jew, one of the first pre-Paul evangelists, and an Ethiopian eunuch. Philip has been engaged in an exciting and successful ministry in Samaria. Remember the woman at the well? She was a Samaritan. His ministry had been attended with miracles, healing, casting out demons. And many have been coming to Christ. In the early years following the death and resurrection of Jesus, the gospel is spreading in its all-inclusive way. Now, I didn't know very much about eunuchs, so I looked this up. The eunuch could well have been castrated pre-puberty by his family, who wanted him to have a successful life in the Queen of Ethiopia's civil service. It might well have been a question of money. Castrated males often worked for royal ladies, such as Queen Esther. The Candace, as she was called, looked after the secular financial affairs of the country to free her emperor's son to be more spiritually minded. Let's assume that this significant official was unable to have children and was concerned about the lack of descendants. He lived in a kind of no man's land, successful, pious, believing in the God of the Hebrews, but excluded from conversion to Judaism because of his physical state. He was an outsider. Ethiopia then was not the same geographically as it is today. It was south of Egypt, probably in the area we now know as Sudan. He can therefore be assumed to be black. He'd been on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. This was some journey, presumably along the Nile. Here he was returning home via Gaza, some 50 miles from Jerusalem, where he perhaps hoped to board a boat to continue his journey home. It seems he'd inquired some scriptures and was digging into his new book, or someone was reading it for him. He was riding, probably, in a covered wagon, with enough room for the driver, the Ethiopian, and a servant, as well as Philip. He was reading a passage from Isaiah, which was proving very difficult to understand. Either he or a servant would be reading aloud. Was he intrigued by the fact that the servant in Isaiah had no descendants like him? Here was someone to whom he could relate. It was speaking about Jesus and the fact that he had no descendants. Meanwhile, it says that an angel of the Lord had spoken to Philip in the midst of his very successful and busy life. Nevertheless, Philip had listened and obeyed, no doubt wondering why he was being called away from his successful ministry to the south, to a wilderness area. It must have seemed very strange, but he went, and he continued to obey, running alongside this carriage, listening to what was being read. He recognized his cue, and he played his part in unpacking for the eunuch what he was reading, explaining to him the coming of the Messiah, the fulfillment of the scriptures, and the prophecies in Isaiah in particular. Quite often we need to have something explained to us. This passage was talking about Jesus Christ, who had died and risen again, and he, the excluded, the eunuch, was being invited to believe in Jesus and his death and resurrection for himself. Jesus, the Son of God, knew what it was like to have no descendants. And yet he'd inherited eternal life and had won for the eunuch the same. Why does Luke tell us this particular story among many? It seems he was wanting to point out the inclusiveness of the gospel. First, Philip had taken the gospel to the Samaritans, Gentiles. Now he was taking it even further away, to the people of the south, to outsiders such as eunuchs, and even to black people. The gospel is spreading and includes all of us, both far and near, whatever our skin color, whatever our sexuality, whether powerful or not, we're all invited in to the great banquet in the kingdom of God. If only we will accept the invitation, as the eunuch did that day. Along the wilderness road, there was an area with ample water. "What's stopping me from being baptized right here and now?" says the Ethiopian. He'd found salvation, a new hope, and he was rejoicing. And now there are echoes of the encounter with Jesus on the Emmaus Road. You recall how Jesus explained the scriptures to two dejected disciples and then dines with them before disappearing. Well, the two disciples are overjoyed and return to spread the good news to those remaining in Jerusalem. Jesus is alive. Here too, the eunuch continues on his long journey home in an entirely different frame of mind, rejoicing. Philip disappears and reappears in Azotus, which is the same as Ashdod, which I'm sure you know well. It's 30 miles north of Gaza to where the Ethiopian had been traveling. It's in Philistine territory. And there, Philip resumes his task of bringing the gospel to those who have not yet heard it, and he goes as far as Caesarea, the large port, another 30 miles north. I wonder whether you've identified with anyone in this story, and why. Have you yet to encounter Jesus yourself in an unmistakable way? Are you needing to find someone to explain the gospel to you? Are you reminded of when you've encountered Jesus in the past? And do you have your own story to tell? In his commentary, Tom Wright tells a story about an experience he had, which I think is worth repeating. It's a true story about an encounter he had which parallels our story today. Tom Wright had been working hard on some lectures he was about to give, but a thought kept nudging him. He'd dismiss it, but it kept coming back as he tried to concentrate on what he was doing. He had no time to spare, but the thought kept coming. Go to Evensong at King's College. He was in Cambridge at the time. In the end, feeling a little foolish, he decided to heed that inner nudge and the quiet voice. He went to Evensong, arriving with the processing choir and the clergy, and took the only seat available, thankfully on the end of a row. As he sat down, somewhat breathless, he felt a hand grip his arm. Turning round, he saw to his astonishment that it was an old friend, a New Testament scholar from Texas. "What are you doing here?" said the friend. "Bill," Tom said, "what are you doing here?" The music began and ended the conversation, but Bill pulled out a diary and showed him the entry for that very date, written in capital letters, "Call Tom Wright." He was spared the phone call and was able to ask Tom later, to his face, to be a speaker at a conference he was organizing. This conference came to be very important to Tom in his work, and it was a deeply formative experience. and it helped him in his study of the verse from Isaiah from our readings today. Funny how things like that happen. If you identified with the Ethiopian, the outsider, then this is a reminder that you are included in God's loving embrace. No one is beyond the pale. If you have not yet met Jesus for yourself and are seeking him, he too is seeking you and will find a way to reach you. Are you, like Philip, busy ministering, doing what you think God wants you to do? Then listen carefully to his promptings and interruptions to do his will, which may take you out of your way to God, the one, the individual, counts. It's not quantity, but quality. And God has his own plan, of which we are privileged from time to time to take part. This was a brief encounter, a love story with eternal significance. Amen.